Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad you're here today, and we have our young folks up here to share with us their memory verse, and so please give them your attention.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. One of the oldest statements in Christianity. Well, the hour has come, and so we can begin, and so we want to just welcome you and ask if there's any announcements. You'll see some of these are on your back, your bulletin. Anyone else have something? Yes, Betsy?
Okay, newsletters or email boxes. If you have an email address, you should have gotten an email with the newsletter attached. If you did not, let me know. Well, next week I'm going to put a list of all the emails I have to check. If your email is incorrect, let me know. So it's my first try at it, so any comments is welcome.
Thank you.
And also, flowers in the windows, if you signed up for a poinsettia, you can take it home.
Okay.
And if anybody else would like a poinsettia, we would have some left, I think.
All right. And Danny.
The Bible study will be Wednesday the 15th.
The 15th. Okay. And that is in the new year. Any others? Carrie. Praise God.
So we're about 600 short.
Okay.
So anybody want to give towards the beautiful new cushions, the soft, comfy cushions? Please see Vaccine and she'll take your donations. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Does that pretty well cover it? All right. Well, we hope you had a Merry Christmas, and let us begin our worship with this prelude. Call to worship comes from Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and a bride adorns herself with jewels. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise as we enter your house this day. We are just so grateful for all the blessings of life, especially here as we have just celebrated Christmas again. And Lord, we're just mindful of your goodness to us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and be present among us and teach us anew from your word. And so, Lord, have your way in this hour. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing if you're able, and we'll sing hymn number 82. Our call to giving comes from Luke 6:38, a good principle here to remember. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let us pray for the blessings. God, we are grateful for the way that you have provided for us, and thank you, Lord, for the gifts that have come in to support the ministry here at Rocky Ridge and around the world. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless the gift and the giver, and that you would multiply it and use it greatly for your work, for the kingdom of God. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we'd like to hear what is on your heart today, a joy or a praise or a concern, something for us to pray about.
Eddie Hoff, I'm going to keep Eddie Hoff on our prayer list, you know, straight. And Debbie's fighting a kidney stone, and she's supposed to go to the doctor again tomorrow.
I see.
And a bigger family.
Okay.
And Travis.
Yes, Danny? Travel with the mercies, okay.
I'd like to keep my cousin's husband, Mike O'Brien, in the hospital. He's going through some really rough time.
Michael.
Mike O'Brien, yes. And keep Dad. He's not feeling well, and he's also got a test to go to today.
Okay.
So, like to keep him in prayer. As well, as far as the joy, It was a blessing for us to be able to celebrate Jesus' birth this week and be with the family and celebrate this beautiful time of the year.
Amen. And I'll echo that. It was good to, for us to have Matthew home, and he was able to return back to Tennessee on Friday safely. Linda?
We forgot, too. Our great-granddaughter, Grace, is flying up today with her grandmother today.
Okay.
For a few days.
So more traveling nurses. And again, Danny?
A friend of the kids, Faith, her family went through some bad stuff. They lost her grandmother on Thanksgiving, and then the day before Christmas, they lost her great-grandfather. So just prayers for that family.
Okay. Yes, Lux.
My great-granddaughter, Claire, who's joining us for our first Christian service.
Wonderful. Nice to have you.
Nice to
welcome.
That is a joy.
Frank.
Yeah, I want to continue to keep my wife on prayers. She has developed somehow, some way, some tremendous pain in her back. I've had her to the doctor, and he's given a real strong pain medication, but what has happened? It affected her memory, her mind, and she was very, very confused there for a couple of days. So we had to back off from a lot of that.
Yes.
We want to continue to keep her in our prayers and all others in our church and in the world. Peace and love and compassion that we all need.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Tracy, I do want to add one. This morning I just found out that today is the last day with some of the churches that are closing up. Today is the last day. The doors are going to close today after today's service for the Catoctin United Methodist Church down in Catoctin Furnace. And today is it. They close their doors. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep that church, those people that still attended, in prayer. And that hopefully they can find another home to go to.
Right. Yes. Well, let us pray. We invite you to kneel or bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we are grateful for our many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for family and friends, for gifts, for time together. We thank you, Lord, for health, wholeness. We thank you, Lord, for security, for peace. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in the needs that have been shared here verbally today, as well as those who are not shared. You know what's on our hearts and on our minds. We pray for those who are under the weather, for Eddie with his stroke, for Debbie with her kidney stones, for those who are overcoming various problems. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in each situation. Touch each family in this church. We pray, Lord, for a good and healthy new year. We ask for traveling mercies, Lord. We thank you for those that have come and gone safely, and those that will be moving about. Your angels would guard and protect and guide and direct. Know that so many people are traveling this holiday season. So, Lord, thank you for pilots and all who make that happen. We ask, Lord, you would comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those that are having tests and treatments this week. guide the doctors and the nurses as they care for them. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless churches, large and small, but especially be with the little ones that are not sure how to make ends meet and need to close. Lord, we pray for those that are experiencing hardship this Christmas season, those that maybe have lost their home in fire or flood or war. We pray for those who are hungry. Lord, would you give them something to eat today? We have so many gifts, Lord, and so teach us to share, that as we give in good measure, that not only will that measure be returned, but be multiplied, that we might continue to be a conduit to share with those around us your goodness. Lord, we thank you for this church, for a wonderful candlelight service last week, and thank you, Lord, that we're on the verge of a new year. We pray that it would be a good one for ourselves, for our families, for our church and our community, a good one for our country, a good one for the year, for the whole world. And we ask, as we pray together the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, if you would join me in singing number 87. Still a good time to sing the carols.
Oh,
may be seated. Our scripture reading is from Luke 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as this is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray for me, please? Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds would be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. So God, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Well, what did you get for Christmas? And what did you give for Christmas? I think often Christmas we associate with presents. And presents are very important. What was the maybe the best Christmas present you ever received? I don't know if it was the tops, but one of the tops for me was a present that my wife gave me in 1997. We had two small children. Money was tight. And as I opened the very decorative wrapped gift, out came an olive wood nativity set from Serve. All the pieces of the nativity set out of olive wood. And I marveled because it was such a beautiful thing. I love olive wood, and especially connection there with Israel. What I found out later was that Pat had saved a little bit of her spending money each week. It took her almost a year to do it in order to afford to buy that set. It was over $100, and that was a lot of money for us back then. So not only was the gift significant, but also the way that it was given. Gifts seem to be associated with Christmas. Maybe you got a very decorative gift this Christmas. Maybe it was wrapped very pretty with a big bow. Gifts come in all sizes and shapes, and sometimes the little ones are more important than the big ones, but when our kids were little, I used to try to impress them Christmas morning, and so if I had a gift that was about yay big, I put it in a wrapped it, and then I put it in a bigger box and wrapped that, so they had a lot of unwrapping to do. But we had the whole tree. Sometimes the tree was almost hidden because of the boxes and everything were around the tree, and it was so big. Gifts come in all things, paper, cellophane, tins, boxes of all shapes and sizes. I think one of the things that are kind of significant now is those gift bags. You don't have to do a lot of wrapping. You just put a little tissue paper on top. It makes it easy, but it looks nice. The presentation is important, but the present is probably even more important. I came across a proverb this year. It's an Amish proverb, and I had never heard this before, but it's, I think, pretty wise. It says, how we spend Christmas is of greater significance than how much we spend for it. How we spend Christmas. So maybe instead of asking what you got for Christmas, maybe we should ask, how did you spend Christmas? And hopefully you spent Christmas with family and friends. The presentation of the gift and the moment of that presentation oftentimes makes it even more important. Think about the moments of presentation in our lives. There's the first sonogram that you find out that you're expecting, and to see the child in the womb. There is the birth, of course, parents getting their first look and being able to hold the child for the first time. There is the baby dedication at church. Everyone is dressed up and dedicating the child. There is the graduation, even from high school, when your name is read and you walk across the stage to receive your diploma in front of everyone. Then there's the engagements, the little surprise ring box that looks great, and you wait for just the right moment to do that. I don't know if I ever told this, but we had gone to Bethany Beach, and I was carrying this ring around in my swimsuit, this box, waiting for the right moment on the beach, and it just never seemed to come. I kept it in the towel back on the beach, and when we were out in the water, kept waiting and waiting for the right moment, you know. And so then we got on the ferry and started home, and it was foggy like last night, and you could barely see across the water, just a short distance ahead of the boat. And so it was there on the bow of the boat, and as we're heading into the fog, I asked her to marry me. We didn't know what the future was going to hold, but she said yes. There are lots of other times when we just kind of are amazed at the presentation. Weddings, when the father escorts his daughter in, and the groom and the congregation get to see the bride for the first time. The entrance into the room after the party. Maybe everyone's dressed up out on the night on the town, and your name is read and you enter. There's the formals, maybe special times in high school or after school, where there's a big party and everyone is there, all dressed up. And even in death, we prepare the body, it's presented, dressed up for the final farewell. Well, we see here in our story this morning that Joseph and Mary are presenting Jesus as being good Jews, following the customs of their faith and the law of the Lord, presenting Jesus in the temple. And we just celebrated Christmas, the presentation of God's Son, His greatest gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about it, aren't we really glad that God is not a respecter of persons? I mean, look at who God allowed to witness the incarnation, and who were there for that first advent. It was not the high and the mighty, but it was the lowly, the shepherds, foreign wise men, a humble couple, still believing, maybe even some senior citizens in the temple. It was not the proud, the powerful government leaders. It was not the high religious leaders of the church who held important positions. It was the simple. Simeon. Probably, we assume that he was a priest, but he probably was not. Just an old man who was very faithful. A layman who served in the temple. Ordinary, a just and devout man, we're told. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we're also told that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Luke highlights this at the beginning of Christianity, that God blessed these very simple, good people, good folk, we would call them, who allowed them to be a part of the nativity story. God presented his son to the world, and we put it all together in this, what we call the nativity, the manger scene here on our communion table. The concept of present and presentation is throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read in Genesis that Joseph went to Goshen to meet his father and presented himself unto him, fell on his neck, and wept at their reunion together. Later, he took his five brothers and presented them unto Pharaoh. The presentation. Presentation includes sacrifice. In Leviticus, we read that grain offerings to the Lord are to be presented unto the priest. A memorial portion was burnt on the altar, and it was a sweet aroma to the Lord. But you know, not only animals and gifts and first fruits are to be offered to the Lord, but people as well. In Leviticus 7:35, Moses presented Aaron and his sons to minister unto the Lord as priests. Deuteronomy 31:14, Moses and Joshua presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. In 1 Samuel 10:19, before Samuel anointed Saul to be king, the tribes of Israel presented themselves before the Lord and by different clans, and then they chose Saul to be the leader of them. Even way back in Job, we have the idea of presentation. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Even Satan came along among them to be present, to present himself before the Lord. In the New Testament, we recall how, as the Christmas story tells us in Matthew 2, that the wise men came from the east into the house and fell down and worshiped the Christ child and opened their treasures. They presented him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so that is the focus of Epiphany, and it should be coming up January the 6th. We celebrate, remember the wise men coming to the manger scene. And in our text for today, Mary and Joseph, they're offering their firstborn in dedication, in keeping with the law of the Lord, in Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord. Later in the New Testament, we read that Peter brought back Dorcas with God's touch, brought her back to life. And when he called then the saints and the widows who were grieving over her, and he presented her alive. Can you imagine that presentation? Wow. Presentation includes giving of yourself. In Romans 12, we're told that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And so we can consider ourselves a gift placed on the altar for God. Presentation includes the gift. And Paul said to the Corinthians, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul said, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. To the Ephesians, he said that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. To the Colossians, he said, present you holy and unblameless and above reproach in his sight, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And in Jude, we have this benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Present and presentation are important. And whether it's a gift, a message, or a talent, or even a life, we are to present God with our best. To give God our best, our whole self. And in a sense, this is what Mary and Joseph did. In presenting Jesus in the temple at Jerusalem that day, it was a special day. They had to make an effort to do that. They had to travel from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. And they gave of their meager budget. This was before the Magi gave them the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so out of their meager budget, they purchased two sacrificial birds for the ceremony. It was the least amount that you could purchase to make the sacrifice. You know, in the Church of the Brethren, we have a special service of dedication for the children. We celebrate when a new life has come into a family. We celebrate the gift of a baby to a family. And oftentimes we do this on Mother's Day. Traditionally we think about children and mothers, and so we have the baby dedication at that time. But really, when you think about it, dedication of the child should be the first time that they come to church. And so approximately 40 days following the birth is a wonderful time to bring the child and to have the child dedicated. Remember, this isn't baptism, but simply a dedication. The parents are asking God to help them nurture this child in the way that they should go, and also asking the community of faith to support them in raising the child. And so Mary and Joseph come into the temple just expecting to go through the motions, if you will, to do what was required of them according to the law. And they go across Simeon and Anna, and they present Jesus to be dedicated. Over on the side is Simeon. He's been there day after day for many years waiting. And the Holy Spirit tells him, this is the one. At just the precise moment that this six-year-old Messiah is brought into the temple, they are giving God their best and their praise and worship. And Simeon can't help but share the good news with all around him, because he knows who this child is. I'd like to read what Herbert Locker says about Simeon. He's entitled this, "The Man Who Died Satisfied." The adoration and prophecy of Simeon, who waited for the consolation of Israel and blessed the Consoler when he appeared, is rich in spiritual suggestion. This spectacular spectator of the most significant birth in history, endued with a prophetic spirit, kept the lamp of prophecy burning when religion was at its low ebb in Israel. Simeon means one who hears and obeys. And this saintly Simeon knew the voice speaking in the prophets of old and obeyed the light he saw. Coming into the temple, he took the babe in his arms and blessed God. What a wonderful benediction it was. At last, faith had been justified, and Simeon could die without fear. Have our eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Can we die in peace? In his swan song, Simeon was not ashamed to declare that the one born in the city of David was the Savior of the world. This was more than the letter-learned scribes of his time had discerned. These were the men who looked upon Christ as a sign to be spoken against, and to whom he would become a stone, a stumbling, and a rock of offense. But godly Simeon, it was different. For he was spirit-taught and knew that Mary's child was the one through whom the world was to be blessed. As he eagerly anticipated Christ's first advent, are we found patiently waiting his second advent? When he does appear and we see him as he is, ours will be the thrill seeming experience as it gazed upon the Lord's Christ. And so as Simeon looked for that first advent, are we also anticipating and looking forward to that second advent? What a glorious presentation that will be. I thought about Sunday night as Pastor Julie shared. Her comments were often what I was planning to share this morning, and I told her that. She's like, it's good. I said, I think the Holy Spirit has us on the same page here, because many of the things you said, you know, is kind of what I wanted to focus on as well. But she talked about presence, if you remember, and five love languages, and she talked about us not being robots, and how Jesus is wrapped up as a gift in human flesh, and that each of us really is a gift to those around us. And so remember, as we celebrate Christmas, that Jesus is the reason for the season, but he is the gift of God. He is the gift that has come, and along with that, the presentation, the star, the special star that shone so bright and pointed the way, the shepherds who came, the angel choir, all singing. What a presentation it was. The shepherds wanted to go to Bethlehem to see this thing that the Lord had made known to them. And Mary pondered all these things and kept them in her heart. And as they go to Jerusalem to dedicate Christ, and now Simeon comes into the scene, and he declares, this is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. I can rest now. I can close my eyes in death, because the Lord has kept his promise to me. What a blessing. The presentation and the present. The greatest gift of all, wrapped up in love, came by special delivery, announced by the angels on that first Christmas night. And Mary and Jesus dedicated. And we're going to do our best to raise this boy. How do you raise a king? How do you raise someone who has always been? We recall on that first Christmas night the specialness of it. And we try to celebrate that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Christmas is so special for us. It's not just the presents. Being together, remembering, celebrating his first advent. And as we do that, we need to keep in mind, second advent is coming. We're so close to that. Getting closer each day and each year, we're getting closer and closer to his second advent. And so I want to ask you this morning, what does your presentation look like? How is your gift wrapped? Are you presenting God your best? You know, we are a vessel for the Lord's service. And how we present ourselves to others is so significant. I think of sometimes of Christians who say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." Well, if you're a Christian, why don't you smile a little bit more? Why don't you a little bit more jolly? Our presentation. Are we sharing the character qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ? Emphasizing those in our lives. You know, we want to present God our best. In worship, in service, in our families, in all of life, we want to try to give God our best. You know, we can't do that if we don't take the time to serve. If we don't take time out to worship, we need to study our lessons. We need to be planned in how we're going to give. We need to be ready to present the gospel to anyone who might ask. You know, we can't do that if we're so rushed, if we're so hurried, if we're always doing things on the last minute. To prepare, to be prompt, to be prepared and willing to share, to make a sacrifice even if it's required. Presentation is important, but the present is most important. the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to present the gospel in a way that will be receptive. It is the truth that he is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. But we also need to present that in love. Truth and love balance each other. And we need to keep those in balance. The gospel of Jesus Christ desires the presentation, the best presentation that's possible. And so, how does this community see us, Rocky Ridge Monocacy Congregation? How does the community view us? What is their thoughts about us? How do we present ourselves to them? God loves us as individuals, those who are humble, simple, who are faithful, who share his story about his love and his truth. And we try to do that just simply by saying that Jesus is Lord. As they said this morning, Jesus is Lord. The presence and the presentation are important. So how is your gift wrapped? What will you present to God in 2025? Let us pray. Creator God, you are high and holy, and hallowed is your name. And we join with Simeon and Anna in praising you that we have seen your salvation in the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. God, we marvel at your presentation of Christ to our needy world, with stars and signs and angels singing, and we can only imagine what your coming will be. We have been blessed. This past Christmas reminds us again of how blessed we truly are. And so, God, help us to give back to you our best in 2025 so that others might come to know your love and your truth, and that they might have hope in these times of despair. Lord, forgive us when we don't give you our best or we're not willing to make the sacrifice in your name. Help us to see how our gift is really being presented to you. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit work on our hearts and our lives. And so we pray that you would bind any spirit that is not in agreement with your Holy Spirit. Let these last days of Christmas remind us again of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, so that we might reflect their faith and to challenge our lives for the new year ahead. God, if we don't know, if there is someone in our family who doesn't know, help us to share the saving knowledge of Jesus with them, and let this church grow in truth and love as we present the gospel to this community and to our world. Give us more of your grace and your mercy, and we pray in the name of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We will close our service by singing our last carol, number 88.
Thank you.
And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.